This is an awesome day. It's such an important day in the Christian world around the world. And because this is the day that Christians claim that Jesus rose from the dead after being dead for 3 days. So it's very, very significant. And I guess the question that the world wants to know, well, what happens if Jesus didn't rise? Well, what happens if I don't believe that Jesus rose from the dead? I mean, those are legitimate questions that the world is asking, and you know, we need to answer that. So let me just tell you this: if you don't believe that Jesus rose from the dead, it doesn't bother God at all. It actually doesn't bother God what you believe. Okay, so understand something, that God has decided that the resurrection of Jesus is actually a proof of something much bigger. And that's what we're going to look at this morning, very briefly. So the thing is this, what does it mean to you if Jesus rose or he didn't rise from the dead? And let's start with the bad news. Let's get the bad news out of the way real quickly, all right? And actually, the bad news is it's not that he didn't rise from the dead. The bad news is for those who don't believe that he rose from the dead. So I want you to go with me very quickly to a scripture, and we're going to look at Acts chapter 17, verse 30, because in this scripture we find something quite remarkable. It's very powerful. It's very dramatic, because the scripture tells us that God considers the resurrection proof to man that he's going to judge the world. He considers the resurrection to be proof. You know, there's another place in scripture I was reading early this morning where God says something similar, and it's found in Romans chapter 1. We're not going to go there, but it says this, that his handiwork and everything that he created, he considers sufficient proof of his existence. So he said, now that you know the truth of his existence, he considers it enough. So rejecting creation or that somebody created it, God says, well, you had an opportunity to believe and you rejected the belief. So, rejected opportunity. And let's have a look at the scripture now in Romans chapter, Acts 17 and verse 30. It says, in the past, God overlooked such ignorance, and he now commands that all people everywhere should repent. Every single person on the face of the earth is required to repent. For he, God, has set a day when he will judge the world. God is going to judge the world, but now watch this, with justice by the man he appointed. God is going to judge the world by the man he appointed. Now he tells us who this man is. He says he has given proof of this to all men by raising him from the dead. So God decides that the raising of Jesus from the dead is sufficient proof. Whether we as humans believe it or not, it doesn't bother him. One of the reasons he's been raised from the dead verifies and authenticates the fact that he is the Christ, and that through this man that he raised from the dead, he is going to judge the world. So the resurrection is proof that there's a judgment. Let me say that again. The bad news is that the resurrection is proof that there's a judgment. I said, let's get the bad news out the way first. For us who are believers, our foundation is based on the resurrection. For without the resurrection, there would be no Christians. Without the resurrection, there would be no worshipers, as we had this morning. Without the resurrection, there would be no churches. Without the resurrection, there would actually be no body of Christ known as the church. It wouldn't exist. It all exists because of the resurrection. Now, Dr. Luke, who wrote the book of Acts and also wrote the Gospel of Luke, he said this. He chose one of the strongest words that you could possibly use in the English language as a type of legal evidence. And he said there are convincing or demonstrable or irrefutable proofs. Not merely one, but more than one. Irrefutable, demonstrable, and convincing proofs. Now, my sermon this morning is not to try and prove to you that there's a resurrection. I've done that. We've covered that ground many times. But we will look at some of the evidence very briefly, just to remind you of what Scripture teaches about the resurrection. And the first one, we have to go to the tomb where Jesus was laid. And the fact that they had the Roman soldiers put the big stone in front so that they couldn't come and steal the body of Jesus. And so a couple of people, like the disciples, would not be able to move the stone. It was too heavy. But on the morning of the resurrection, the stone was rolled away. First sign, something had happened that was supernatural. The next thing is you step inside the tomb, and the tomb is empty. So, Jesus rolled the stone away himself, trying to get out the tomb? Don't think so. The stone was rolled away, the tomb was empty. Not only were the tomb empty, but the linen cloths in which his body was laid were still lying on the stone bed that he was laid down on. He came out of those cloths, and the cloths exactly as it was when he was wearing them. And that indicates to me that when the rapture takes place, our clothes will stay behind. Because he comes right out of those clothes. He didn't get up and undress himself. When he came through, he came right out of those clothes. Amen? No more fashion to worry about. That's the third thing. He came out, the linen cloths were still lying there. And then Jesus appears to many people, and at one time he appears to a group of more than 500. At one time. Now, this couldn't be a group hallucination, because that doesn't happen. If somebody hallucinates, it's maybe one person in a group. But for the entire group to hallucinate that they're actually seeing Jesus just doesn't happen. And Jesus appeared to many people during the 30 or 40 days before he ascended to heaven. But at one time, 500. We're talking about proof of the resurrection. And I'm just throwing these out there for you. I'm not going to spend any time on them. Then there was the fact that the disciples. The transformation of the disciples to me is actually one of the major events. Because, you know, they were so afraid after he was killed and crucified that they went and hid themselves. And the Bible says they locked the doors and they hid themselves away because their leader had just been crucified. A terrible death. And so obviously what would be the next thing to happen is you're going to go after this man's disciples. He's going to go after the gang. He's going to go after the followers if they got the leader, right? So they were afraid. They were hiding away. They were scared. What were they afraid of? Death. They were afraid of death. Well, how many of you know that when they died, they weren't afraid of death? Something happened. Now, these people who were afraid of death suddenly become so bold that they would not deny their faith in the face of death. Whether they were beaten, whether they were hung upside down, whether they were boiled in oil, it wouldn't matter to them. They would not deny their faith. That transformation takes a huge amount of there's an impact that is caused with that type of transformation. You know, in your own life, before you became a Christian, the way you lived, and then you became a Christian, what was that great transformation? What made you stop all those things that you were doing? What made you start living another kind of a life, a godly, Christ-like life? It was the fact that you had met the Christ, you had met Jesus, you had got born again, and you knew that 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 God was true. He was alive, and that your sins were forgiven. That impact changes you. Yes. Well, the same thing happened to these guys when they saw the resurrected Christ. Yes. And he says to doubting Thomas, touch me. Because you didn't believe. You didn't believe until you saw me. But he says, blessed are those who believe without seeing. That's us. That's us. We're blessed. Jesus blessed us. Jesus called us blessed. Why? Because we didn't have to see that day that he was raised. We believe he's raised. Say, blessed and grateful. Yes, we are. Blessed and grateful. And the last point concerning the evidences of his resurrection is the day of Pentecost. Jesus told his disciples to go and wait in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit has come. And remember, he said to his disciples, I'm going to go to the Father, and I'm going to ask the Father to send you the Holy Spirit. Now, don't go out until the Holy Spirit comes. And then the day of Pentecost arrives, Holy Spirit comes, 3,000 people get saved, full of the Holy Ghost, talk in tongues, baptized in water. It was evidence that Jesus had arrived in heaven by his Father. Because I'm going to go to my Father. When I get there, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. So the fact the Holy Spirit arrives is evidence that he's there. We're talking about resurrection evidence. Amen? Resurrection, that's the outpouring of the Holy Spirit because he's risen. All right, I believe that settles it. We could go on, we could look at some other things, but straight up scripture, that settles it. This morning I want to talk to you about what the resurrection means to me. The resurrection assures me of four things. And I'm going to give them to you in order, real briefly. And the first thing the resurrection assures me of, it authenticates that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. So not only is he the fact that he's the Christ, but the resurrection becoming alive out of the grave, victorious over death, over sin, is evidence that he is, in fact, the Son of God. Have a look at the scripture, please. It's in Romans chapter 1 and verse 4. But the Holy Spirit proved that Jesus is the powerful Son of God because he was raised from the dead. So the resurrection, this is why when folks say, well, what happens if Jesus wasn't raised from the dead? Well, he wasn't raised from the dead, that he's not the Christ. He's not the Messiah. It means he's not God if he wasn't raised from the dead. Then he could be like any one of the other prophets that people claim and other religions claim are their leaders. Just be the same. But that's what makes him different, significantly different from any other one, is that he was, in fact, raised from the dead. And the Holy Spirit in Scripture says that was an authentication that he was the Son of God. Number two, the resurrection assures me of freedom from the power of sin. Now, understand something. Sin still has power. You need to know that. Sin has power. Sin brings guilt. Sin brings condemnation. All of those things. Sin is still in the world. In fact, the demonic forces rule over people who haven't given their life to Jesus. They fall into the power of sin, into darkness, and they live in that darkness. But if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, sin loses its power. The resurrection assures me as a believer that sin has no power over me. Neither can sin cause me guilt. Because I simply go to the cross and say, Lord, I've sinned. I ask and receive your forgiveness for what I've done. And instantly I believe and receive that I'm cleared of the penalty of my sin. Until I ask for that forgiveness and receive it, I remain under the penalty of my sin. And remaining under the penalty means you remain under the power of the sin, which means sin rules and dictates in your life. Whereas a believer, sin does not have that power. Darkness does not have that power. Demon spirits do not have that power. Because in the name of Jesus, we've been forgiven, and the enemy's been defeated, and the power of sin has been taken out of the equation. Amen? What an opportunity. Why would anybody want to live on that side, under that darkness, under that power? No, sir. No, sir. So the resurrection assures my freedom. Remember this. There can be no Christians without the resurrection. No one could claim to be free from the penalty of sin. Look at 1 Corinthians 15, verse 17. Unless Christ was raised to life, unless he was raised to life, your faith is useless. Your faith doesn't work. You're having faith in a God that was not raised to life. And look what it says, please. You are still You're still, read it with me, you're still living in your sins. See that? So for those who don't avail themselves of the resurrection, they're still living in their sins. That's what I was trying to explain to you. So if there's no resurrection, there's no Christians. If there's no resurrection, there's no worshipers. If there's no resurrection, there's no freedom from sin. If there's no resurrection, the church doesn't exist. Wow. So what does it mean to you? The resurrection. It means everything, according to Scripture. Then number three, the resurrection assures me that I'm in right standing with God. The big religious word is righteousness. Now, we hear that a lot. Man, righteous dude. Righteous. The guy throws a good net and boom. Oh, righteous dude. Well, I don't know about that. I don't think if you hit the ball out the park that you're suddenly righteous. Not according to Scripture. To be in right standing with God. Look at Romans 4 and 25. Jesus was given to die for our sins. He was given to die for our sins. And he was raised from death to make us right with God. He was raised from death to make us right with God. If he was not raised, no one can claim to be right with God. The power of the resurrection, what does it assure me? It assures me that I can say I am right with God, not because of what I've done, but because Jesus was raised from the dead. And I've put my faith in the fact that he was raised from the dead. That makes me right with God. It's not what I've done, it's what he's done. I'm not trying to work to a place where I get right with God. I simply receive it by faith. I say, thank you, Lord, for what you did. You died on the cross. You were raised from the dead. And because I believe in that, I have now been declared right with God. Wow. So that sounds so simple. Yeah, but it wasn't free. He paid a price for it, a huge price. And lastly, the resurrection assures me that I will be raised. His resurrection assures me I will be resurrected. Look at this. I'm going to give you two quick scriptures, 1 Corinthians 6 and 14. It said, by his power, look at this, by his power, God raised the Lord from the dead, and he will raise us also. Say that, because he raised him from the dead, say it with me, because he raised him from the dead, I will be raised also. So you see, if he be not raised, we be not raised either. Right, weebies? Weeby. We be raised because he be raised. And the weeby shall go first. We really have a family in the church called weeby. So we be righteous. We be ready. Hallelujah. What a great name to have, huh? I'm sure that the parents kept saying to him, be somebody, be somebody. And they answered, we be somebody. 2 Corinthians 4:14. We know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in his presence. Because he's been raised, I will be raised. That is my great hope. Death doesn't have power over me. The grave has no power over me because Jesus conquered the power of death and the grave. And because he was raised, I am going to be raised. That is my hope. That is my confession. That is my faith. Because he is raised, I have an assurance that I will be raised and resurrected with him. What did Jesus provide for us? I mean, when you think about how many things, we could sit here for days and days and days just talking about what he provided for us through his suffering, through his death on the cross, and then being raised from the dead. The only word I can think about, I call it the great exchange. That he became something so I might be something. In fact, he took my place so that I might be something. He took what I had that I might have what he has. The great exchange took place. On the cross, he took my sin. And that sin caused his spiritual death. But I was spiritually dead. And I became spiritually alive because he died spiritually in my place. And now I can say I'm alive forevermore. Amen. And I have life more abundantly. Thank you, Lord. He was separated from God the Father. The Bible says it went dark and he was separated from God the Father. Why was he separated from God the Father? So that we could be one with him. Not only are we one with him, but he lives in us. We are now his temple. His separation caused our unity, provided for our unity. When he died, you need to know something. He was absolutely alone. He was raised up on the cross with the sin of the world, with your sin and my sin. He was beaten and rejected by the people of the world. He was literally beaten to death. And then he was raised up, pushed off the earth, pushed away from the earth. We don't want you. And God had turned his face and say, neither do I. He was rejected by earth and by man, and he was rejected by his Father. He hung between heaven and earth. Heaven couldn't receive him, and death and earth didn't want him. Why was he rejected like that? So that we might be accepted. There was an exchange that took place. We were accepted because he was rejected. And he said, I was alone, but I'll never leave you. And I will never forsake you. I've been forsaken so that you might never be forsaken. What does the resurrection mean to you? It assures me. It assures me. He was declared to be sin. He didn't only carry our sin. He was declared to be sin. Why? So we could be declared the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He took my sin and I took his righteousness. He gave me his righteousness in place of my sin. What does the resurrection mean to you? Do you know that he lost access to the Father when he died spiritually? Remember, Jesus used to say this, I only do what the Father tells me. Only whatever I speak, because I heard the Father saying something. He was in that communication with the Father, both seeing and hearing. But when he died spiritually, he cried out, oh, Father, 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 why have you forsaken me? You know what happened at that moment? He couldn't hear Father God's voice anymore. And he couldn't see Father God with his spirit. His spirit took on death and took on our sin. And he knew that he was separated from Father God and could not hear the Father. And because he did that, he declares to you, my sheep, hear my voice. And I will lead them out. And those of you who are children of God are led by the Spirit of God. You get to know him, to hear him, and to follow him. Because Jesus became deaf to the Father's voice. You can hear the Father's voice. The great exchange. What does the resurrection mean to you? How many think the Father wanted to help him at that moment? Come on now, think about it. How many think the Heavenly Father wanted to reach down and help his son carrying the burden of the sin of the world? Just a small incident of a father's love during the Olympic Games in the last 100 meters of the marathon race, the son tore his leg muscle, fell to the ground. And the father of that boy came out of the stands illegally onto the track, went and picked his boy up, put his arm around him, all illegal, because you know he's going to be DQ'd, and walked with his son across the finish line. His son had dedicated his life to the Olympics. And on the very final day of the final race, his son got injured. And that father could not stand by and let his son suffer without helping. What do you think the father was going through? As a parent, what would you go through? And he cried out for help. father hung his head and turned his face. He said, I can't help you, son. Right at this moment, you're saving the world. And Jesus says to you, because of that, you ask whatever you will, and it will be given to you. I will make sure you receive it. People pray, and the answer to prayer came because of the assurance of the resurrection. I've got such good news for you this morning, church. Our Savior is alive. He is risen from the dead. And he wears the victor's crown. Come on, let's get up and rejoice and give him praise this morning. Come on, he's alive. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, he's alive. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. What the resurrection means to us is everything. It means everything to us, Lord. Hallelujah. While you're standing on your feet, close your eyes. Friend, visitor, acquaintance, I want to challenge you this morning about where you stand with God. Today is an awesome day. We celebrate and remember the resurrection of Jesus. And everything he did for us, is it possible that you could still say no to this Savior? Is it possible that you could still have a cold heart towards him? Is it possible that you could still feel he didn't do enough or he doesn't love me enough? Is it possible that you could have a hard heart towards him? I don't think so. If there was ever a time for you to say, yes, Jesus, thank you for the great exchange. I believe in the death and resurrection. It's today. I'm not going to call you out to the front. But what I am going to ask you is this. If you've been lukewarm, if you've been vacillating, maybe serving God one day and not another. Maybe you haven't been as on fire as you should have been. Or maybe you've allowed sin to come in your life and to really cool your jets. Today would be a good day if you say, Lord, I believe. Here am I. Take all of me. For those of you this morning who need to put right with the Lord, I'm going to pray a prayer for you where you stand right now. I'm not going to ask you to come out. All I want you to do is show me and God that you have a repentant heart by simply raising your hand for prayer. That's all. Everybody's got their eyes closed. Simply raise your hand and say, Pastor Henry, you speak it to me. God bless you. Thank you for this courage. Their hands are going up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Any more? There's already 8, 9. With those that are raising their hands, keep them up. And everybody pray this prayer out loud. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming to die for me, for taking my sin, for all you did for me. I receive, in Jesus' name, your forgiveness. I commit myself afresh today because of your love to serve you with all my heart, to be a Christian with a passion for Jesus. Thank you, dear Lord, for what you did. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's give the Lord a hand clap. Praise God. Thank you, Lord.